Okay, Sigmar tries again. Yay. So now Rav Yosi Verzvita has another question. Now go back to the Mishnah in Psachim. The Machloket Rav Meir Rav Yosi. Again, Rav Meir says that from Yeshua we learn that you can burn Tahor Chametz with Tamei on Erev Pesach because it's going to be destroyed. Right? So this is the more, the Shita that it's just because it's going to be destroyed, you can do it. So Rav Yosi, Eino Hi Amida. That's not true. Because even Rav Yeshua, who says that you can, that he allows you to make the spilled truma tamei, will say that you can't burn tahor chametz with tahor chametz of truma with tamei. But let Baranash Amar Eina Ela Do Modal Kadmaita. Now, no person would agree that this is not analogous unless he agrees to the initial assumption. Meaning, Rav Yosi wouldn't limit his objection to Meir's analogy comparing truma chametz to spilled truma. Unless he agrees with the mayor's understanding of Yeshua, so Rav Yosi agrees, then our Mishnah's second case, Rav Yeshua allows direct contamination, which is parallel to burning, and Rav Yosi says that the case of Chametz is not parallel. Now, how can you say that only reflect that the Mishnah only reflects Rav Meir and not Rav Yosi? I mean, if Rav Yosi would disagree with our version of Yeshua's second ruling, then in Psachim, he would have told Rav Meir that the initial source from which he derives his psak is erroneous. But he doesn't. He just says it's not analogous, which means he doesn't fully reject it. So now, how does that work? So, right, so how does Rav Yosi's statement that the case of burning tahor chametz of truma together with tameh is not analogous, in which Rav Yeshua allows directly making it tameh? So my kedon, what's the difference between the cases? So tamat, in our Mishnah's case, HaTorah Chasa Amamon and Shei Yisrael. The Torah cares about the Jews' money. And that's why we want to protect you from losing money. But by the case of Truma, right now this is, you know, fascinating. Right? You weren't in Halacha for this, right? But we talked about this a lot, right? That Torah Chasa Amamon Shei Yisrael, Graber was there. He's here. No, that's Mora. Sitting in Graber seat. The Torah Chasam of Mishra Yisrael, so the Gemara uses that in different ways, right? One is to say, like, that's why, you know, let's see. Yeah. Right, so the Gemara learns like this. Right, in different cases, for example, the Yerushalmi says, "My kedon tamana Torah chasam on Shei Yisrael." Oh, sorry, this one. I see that that's the truma. That's the one I had. Or Yerushalmi. So sometimes we just say that the Gemara in Yoma says that every day they would only use a silver shovel for the ketoret and not a gold one. And only in Yom Kippur they use gold. Why? The Gemara says the Torah chasam on Shei Yisrael. So sometimes that's used to explain laws.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's used in psak, right? That we can be makil when there's a mamon, right? That the reason that one of the classic cases of sharat chak, right, of extenuating circumstances halacha is hefsed mamon, is monetary loss, is because once we know that there are laws that are set up explicitly to protect the money of the Jews, that means it's something that is considered important by the halachic system. And therefore, that shouldn't just affect legislation, that it should affect adjudication, at least in cases where the answer isn't fully obvious.
I'm confused by the Gemara's, what seems to be like that this is like a deraisa,
yes,
facts.
Correct.
Baked into the halacha.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
Yes. The Gemara is saying no, it's baked into the fabric of the halacha system.
And you think that this would apply even when truma is deraisa? Or at least it plausibly applies when truma is deraisa.
I mean, this is truma deraisa.
Well,
but that's not what it's saying here. It's saying that in general, the Torah cares about money, and because that's the case, in even let's say biblical legislation, then in adjudication and rabbinic legislation, we also care about money, right? The money of the Jews and monetary loss, and therefore, as far as like this, since in general we see, and we're going to see where, Rav Yosi therefore says that Yeshua allows you to capture the spilled wine of truma in tamei vessels because otherwise, it would cause the cistern to be destroyed, and he would lose all the wine. And that's why he allows it. Now, where do we get this? So there's other sources, right? One is the one I just told you. Another source is the Sarat case, right? Is the fact that a house doesn't become Tame until it's declared such, right? By a Kohen.
Yeah.
So the Torah says, get all the stuff out of the house, and then the Kohen declares it. Why? So the Gemara says, aha, because since the very fact that it has Sarat doesn't make it Tame. It's the Kohen has to declare it Tame for it to be Tame, but the Torah says get all the stuff out before he does that, right? You see, Atara Chasam Amonim Shel Yisrael. But now in the Pesach case, there is no monetary loss, and therefore you would say that you can't be Metame, right? Meaning it's a Chumrah. It's only when you're vending monetary laws, then he waives the rabbinic restriction of being Metame Truma Tluya Biadayim. But on Erev Pesach, it's all going to be destroyed anyway. So what difference does it make? Burn it in multiple fires. You're not going to lose more money, right? If the only het there is because of that, so then wait for that. The Gemara says, V'hacha einam mafsidim mamon. But he says, what do you mean? It is a loss of money. You know how much it costs to get firewood? You're making him make 10 fires? Shoot, sarach eitzim l'sarfo zel atzmo zel atzmo. How many fires do you want the guy to make? Right? You're telling me that's not a monetary loss. You don't know how much firewood costs. So the Gemara says, Lehefsid meruba chashu. Oh, come on. The Torah cares about a lot of money lost. Lehefsid muat lo chashu. A little bit of monetary loss is not such a big deal. Now, I will point out that one of the major questions in the Torah Chasam Amon Shel Yisrael is that sometimes the Gemara says that, like in the case I just mentioned, that we don't use a gold shovel every day because, right, Atara Chasam Amon Shel Yisrael. But other times in the Mikdash, the Gemara says, that we don't skimp in the Beit HaMikdash because ein aniyut b'makom ashirut. Right? There is no poverty in a place of wealth. So this is famously a problem by the Tshuva Me'ava, who was a Talmud, Re'elazar Fleckles, who was Fleckles, I'm not really sure how to pronounce it, who was a Talmud in the Yehuda. They had a back and forth between them of, well, what's the balance, right? When do we say you don't skimp for the Beit HaMikdash because of ein aniyut b'makom ashirut? Right, and when do you say that we do skimp in the Beit HaMikdash because Hatara Chasa al Mamonim Shel Yisrael? Now the Nodi Yehuda says the very reasonable answer, which is you don't do things that are poor in the Beit HaMikdash, but using a silver shovel rather than gold is not poor, it's just not overly rich. There's a difference between saying you use, you know, a child's, you know, sand toy, right, instead of a gold one, and saying you use silver, right? He said there's a difference between aniyut, right? So his Talmud asked him, and he responded, "Oh, come on, there's a difference. There's a range here." So now the Gemara says, "Okay, Amar Rabbi Yosi Reibon, don't assume the Rameyer says in Psachim that from their words you can learn that you can burn Tar Chametz of Truma with Tame. That he's talking about Rabbi Yeshua. He's not. You thought he was talking about Rabbi Yeshua. He's not. Tiftur Kamande Amar Midivrei Rabbi Akiva." He was talking about Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Chananias Gana Kohanim. And he was talking about Chananias Gana Kohanim that were earlier in the Mishnah, which is the greatest nightmare ever. Velech Mami Naklum, and you can't prove anything. Now, what is that? Now, if you look, that was one line of Gemara. Look at this footnote.
Oh.
In Aron Scroll. Why? Because for the very simple reason, it's assuming that you know all the Sagiris Gana Kohanim, which you don't. So let's summarize it like this, okay? So. Rechanan is going to Kohanim says that Kohanim, and this is what you asked me before. What about distinction between different Tumah? Yeah, that's what the rest of it is. Rechanan is going to Kohanim makes it worse. He says that they would burn Kodesh that was Tameh at the third level of Tumah with Kodesh that was at the first level, Rishon and Shlishi, even though it would raise the Rishon to a Sheni.
Raise the Shlishi to a Sheni.
Because since they're both Tameh, it doesn't matter. You're allowed to raise the level of Tumah if they were already Pasul. Rabbi Kiva says that the Kohanim would light Truma that had become Tameh through touching a Tful Yom, which is the equivalent of a Shlishli Truma, with oil that had been Tameh Mate. Even though you're going to, because they're both Tameh, you're even allowed to burn them together, even though it raises it two levels of Tumah, up to a Rishon, because it's touching an Av. So Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yeshua both hold that if something's already tame, then you can destroy it and make it more tame, and there's no problem. But that he derives not from Rabbi Yeshua, but from Rabbi Akiva and Rechanani, Skana Kohanim, who clearly hold this way. And therefore, when Rabbi Yossi says that these cases are not comparable, he means that the two earlier Tanaim are talking about meat and oil that are asur midoraita, and therefore it was possible to increase their tuma. But by chametz, it's forbidden only rabbinically, right? That's the problem, right? Because the problem with the Gemara there is it's saying that midoraita you only burn truma the sixth hour, but we're telling you to burn it earlier, right? But that might not be mutter. You might think that's only something which is tuma midoraita that you can continue to make it tame, but not because of a chiyuv to destroy it derabanan. Summary. They have a very helpful summary, okay? I'm just going to follow them because this sugya is so confusing, okay? So, Rabbi Yossi Reibon has now presented a totally revised understanding of the Chachamim. Until now, their approach was thought to be based on Rish Lakish's interpretation of Mishnah Pesachim. Their mayor derives his rule of Chametz from Yeshua, second case in our Mishnah. Meaning, the reason that Rabbi Meir permits contaminating Trumat of Chametz is it's going to be destroyed one way or the other. And if that's the case, then it'll be true of Truma Tmea, which is going to be destroyed anyways, so you can destroy it actively.
Wait, which way are we learning? From Trumas to Pesachim or Pesachim to Trumas?
From, well, it's the analogy.
Fine. Okay.
So therefore, they argue the Mishnah's first case, when Yeshua allows only exploding Truma Tluya to Tama, but not directly contaminating, it doesn't work, because our mayor says that once something's Tama and it's going to be burned, so then you're allowed to even make it Tama actively. But now the Gemara says, no. Reb Meir is going according to Reb Chanan Iskana Kohanim, Reb Akiva. They hold that once something is Tameh, then you don't have to worry about it at all. But that's not going to be true according to Reb Yeshua. So now, when we say that our Mishnah follows Reb Yossi, that one can that may not burn truma tluya with tamei chametz of truma erev Pesach. That's the first clause, right? So therefore, the first assertion is clear that the Mishnah's first clause, which forbids direct contamination of truma tluya, is Rabbi Yossi and not Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Meir would allow you to do it. But the second assertion is questionable because they stated the Mishnah's second clause, which permits direct contamination of the truma, spilled truma wine or oil, follows Rabbi Meir, who permits contamination of chametz of truma on Erev Pesach, and not Rabbi Yossi, who forbids contamination of chametz of truma. Now, it is granted this clause of Mishnah is accorded with Rabbi Meir's opinion, but it may actually accord with Rabbi Yossi's opinion as well, because perhaps Rabbi Yossi concedes that in a case of impending monetary loss, the rabbis permit contaminating truma that stands to go to waste in order to avoid loss. In other words, the challenge raised above by Rabbi Yossi, Rav Zvida, still stands. We find then that a braita qualifies our mission as later ruling is applying only in case of monetary loss. And it seems that Rabbi Yossi and not Rabbi Meir are the one who makes this distinction, and thus the mission is courts to Rabbi Yossi. So to conclude then, Rabbi Yossi, the Bari Bon, has resolved Rabbi Yossi Bar Zvida's last challenge. He explains that Rabbi Meir states in the Mishnah in Pesachim from their words, that's Rechanan is going to call Rabbi Kiva, and that's where Rabbi Yossi says it's not analogous, and it doesn't prove that he agrees with Rabbi Meir's understanding of Rabbi Yeshua, and it doesn't prove that Rabbi Yossi distinguishes monetary loss and not, because, again, there is some Tana who is more makel in the case of monetary loss, and it might be Rabbi Yossi, but it might not.
And if it's not,
so in short, Rabbi Yossi has demonstrated that, A, there's a difficulty with saying that a mayor actually permits burning suspended truma at all times, and B, it is plausible to say that Rabbi Yossi permits contaminating truma that hasn't become defiled in order to prevent monetary loss. There's both clauses in the Mishnah may be Rabbi Akiva, but they might also be Rabbi Meir.
And
oh, God.
Wait, couldn't they possibly be both?
Wait. I mean, yes.
Yes.
Okay. So Rav Ila, now another position. Rav Ila, Rav Zera, Treyon, Bishem, Rav Yochanan. Yeah.
This is legitimately making my head hurt.
You gotta understand. Rechanan Zangonim is, hands down, the single hardest.
Yes, so Rabbi Tarragon said.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
And then comes, yes, exactly. Rav Ila, Rav Zera, Trem, Hashem, Rav Yochanan. Chavin, Rishonik, Rav Yossi. The case of the first barrel in which Rav Yeshua forbids direct directly making metame of truma tluya is Rabbi Yossi and not Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Meir again allows you to make something directly tame if it's already going to be destroyed. Vashnia, but the second case, bein l'Rabbi Meir, bein l'Rabbi Yossi. That was what you said. Isn't it both? Well, yes, it could be both. Right, because Rabbi Meir just allows you to make truma tluya tame, and Rabbi Yossi allows it when there's monetary loss. But in the second case, where there is going to be monetary loss because it's flowing into chulin, it's not going to be mevatel it. Well, it's going to cause monetary loss, which means it's either mutter to be matami yadayim because Rabbi Meir holds you can always be matami yadayim, or Rabbi Yossi because you can be matami yadayim of truma tluya to prevent monetary loss. But the second case has monetary loss, so it's true according to both of them. If that's what you were asking before, then yes, that is in fact what the Gemara says. So now the Gemara says, really? Amar Rabbi Zera kumi reimana veleta the pliga al Rabbi Yossi. Doesn't this disagree with Rabbi Yossi? Because Rabbi Yossi forbids directly medding a matami truma, even if it's going to go to waste. But the Mishnah says it's mutter. So Amar lay nomar delok Rabbi Yossi. You're right. Okay, it's not like Rabbi Yossi. But nomar delok Rabbi Meir. But it's also not like Rabbi Meir. The Fisher Batsin Rabbi Meir served tluya b'chol makom, because Rabbi Meir says you can burn it always. But our Mishnah implies that you can't directly be matame under normal circumstances, even though it's truma tluya and it's going to be destroyed eventually. But that's against Rabbi Meir. So we must say that the second clause is like Rabbi Yossi, for although he generally forbids direct contamination of truma that's going to be wasted, here he allows it because of financial loss, and therefore you can end up by saying that both of these are in fact Rabbi Yossi. Now this followed Pnei Moshe and Sefer Nir, that Rimana is defending Rabbi Yochanan's interpretation. The Gra says that according to Rimana, that if we interpret the Mishnah strictly, then it won't fit anyone, right? And therefore, he's saying that's why you have to read it loosely. The Mara Fulda is yet another one. Rav Fulda has a unique approach, who says that Reb Zera is not referring to Reb Yose at all. He's referring to the Amora Reb Yose Razvida. And he's not trying to say, yes. Namely, that the Mishnah has to reflect Reb Meir. And Reb Yose Razvida, if you remember, argued that Reb Meir disagrees. That if Reb Meir disagrees with the first law and holds that Truma Tluya must always be contaminated or burned, then he and Reb Shimon should form a majority against Reb Yose and the Halacha should follow them. And Reb Zera says, does Rabbi Yochanan's assertion regarding the first clause that follows only Rabbi Yossi not dispute the seemingly correct view of Rabbi Yossi's Vida? To this, Ramana says, yes, we must explain the Mishnah unlike Rabbi Yossi's Vida, because we must say the first clause is not like Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Meir permits burning Truma in all circumstances. The fact that you have a limitation shows it's not Rabbi Meir, and therefore there is no Rove.
Because it's really a three-way Machlokes.
Exactly.
Yes,
it's not, because there's Reb Meir who says you can always destroy it, Reb Yossi allows it only in monetary loss, and Reb Elazar who's always Oser.
Ah. Okay.
And Reb Gamliel says do nothing. Amari Mana, Azla the Kesarne, I once went to Kesaria, Shamed Chizkia b'shem Reb Yirmiyah, and I heard Chizkia say in the name of Reb Yirmiyah that Reb Meir so rich tluy v'chomako. Reb Meir indeed says anything which is tall, you're always allowed to burn. But Amrit Lane, I said, Kagon Shi tluy dvar Torah, is this only when it is Savig Dvar Torah? But if it's Savig Dirabonan, right, Tuma Dirabonan, we hold it as well. Amrli in, he says, I have heard it explained that way. Anipata Lashanid Bimadar Shalgoyim. But I say that that's not true. Meaning, I've heard some say that this is only true by Safik Tuma D'Oraita, and that's when he says you can burn it. I disagree. I think that even when something is Safik Tuma D'Rabbanan, Rameyer still thinks that you can burn it. Because I heard this halacha by Madar Shalgoyim. Madar Shalgoyim is in the 18th paragraph of Olot. It says that the dwellings of non-Jews, of idolaters, are Tameh, because you have to be worried that they had stillborn children, they buried them in the house. And that's Tumah Derabanan, because obviously we don't know that they had stillborns in the house. So if you brought Truma into that house, it's Tumah Derabanan. And he heard that Reb Meir would say that even if it was Suffolk that it came into that house, so it's Suffolk Tumah Derabanan, he still thinks you can burn it. And therefore he thinks that even when something is Suffolk Tumah Derabanan, he says you can just burn it because it can't be used, so now it can be burned directly. But he acknowledges that not everybody agrees to that interpretation of Rabbi Meir.
That, backing up, is that case in Olos not a Gzera and a Gzera?
Why Gzera and a Gzera?
Feeding the corpses of non-Jews as Tema at all.
No, they're Tema.
Is,
It's not Darabanan. There's a question of whether they're Matami but Ohel. But
the limud about the Pasuk in Yechezkel, they're like donkeys.
So it's I mean, no, that's a machlok in the Gemara between Rishim Bar Yochai and the Chachamim. And is that limited to, right? Is that limited to Ohel? It's a big sugya, right? Tumat Akum. So my Lechamimar, so what do you say? Let's just finish this clause. So what evidence do you have that he thinks that it's even true by Dirabanan? Ditani, Mother Shal Goyim Tolin, right? That by the dwelling of non-Jews, right, we treat it as Safek. Ryozi Ryozi, we're starving. But Ryozi Ryozi holds that it burns it, or Meir holds like him. So we don't have direct evidence, but we know that someone holds it, and Meir is in general the more the one who is, you know, trigger happy on burning Safek Truma. So he probably agrees, and we'd rather not have three positions, right? And therefore he collapses them, he collapses Meir with this position. That's why I hold. The heels that were for a mayor, even Safek Truma Derabanan, you burn. But yeah, if you want to go back just for a second to that, yes. The question of Akum is like this. So where the Rambam holds that, right, the way we end up paskening is that in Ein Akum Metamin Ba Ohel. Right, that only Ohel, right, but not. Well, the ficha kivrotein tahorim, so their kever is tahor. Mutar l'kohen l'kanes l'sham l'drachal kivrotein v'in asra l'shiyiga b'tumash yinzik moshe b'ayin l'sham. Right, the Rambam shita is that la alacha non-Jews are matame be are not matame. Oh, they are b'maga.
Right? For all forms of tuma.
Right now,
but the
right now which means for tuma. No. They're dead bodies. Oh, they're dead bodies, right? Now, this is one of those things that factors into kulo that people have of quantum going to medical school, is if you can observe, mm-hmm. right? If you can observe and not do the actual dissection on the cadaver, but right? That, so according to the Rambam...
For Gentiles.
Yes.
To clarify, akumim are definitely not mekabel tuma, right?
Well...
Akumim are never...
Here's the sugya that you're referring to, right? So the Gemara says in a few places, the Tanya, V'chein Rishim Yerachai Omer, Kivrei Ovid, you call them Enam Etam Bo'el. Right? The graves of non-Jews are Etam Bo'el. Shenemar V'atem, V'ten Soni, Tzon Mariti, Adam, Atem. Atem Kruin Adam, Enam V'chom Kruin Adam. Right? You are Adam, but they're not Adam. Right? Which again, the way the Rambam understands that is just that their machloket is about Ohel. The Chum hold that non-Jews are metame, their dead bodies are metame, even by Ohel, and Rishon Rechai says not. Now, this assumes, therefore, the Rambam is paskening like Rishon Bar Yochai. Right? Right? That's what he's paskening like. Right? Like Rishon by Yochai. Now he notes that, right? So the Urayim, the God Maimon quotes from the Urayim, and he says, now it may be that that's not the case, right? It could be that there were shita that they're not metame even touching, and polagle bechada, right? He agrees bechada and he disagrees, but. You know, at one. The Tanu Tard Kono, Mighty Lab Nazir al Nefesh, Mate Loyavosh, I mean, I feel Nefesh Behema, Tam Lom, Love, Vilimo, but Nefesh Adama called the Bedaber, Rishmal Omer, Tarek Omer, I'll call Nafshad Mate Loyavo, and I've shown a Metam to be a called the Bedaber, be a Pirishba OL, feel our bond of Ligate Rishmal, Lomaf, Behema Loyavo, Yatu Goyim in a cloud, La Vivilimo, the Nazir is almost strike craw, Nana Goyim, Ainlam Nazir, Maf, Yatam Cry, etc. Right. So what you get is basically there are three shita. Right. Some say that the God. Right. Now Rabbeinu Tam rejects Rashbi and therefore says the non-Jews are matami even Boel. Right. So you have Rabbeinu Tam who follows the Chachamim who say the non-Jews are matami Boel and Bimaga.
Right?
The Rambam holds, like Rashbi, but understands Rashbi to say that they're metame b'mago masa by touching, but not b'ohel. right? And then there are some who say that no, that they're not metame at all, right? Which is what you're saying. There is a minority position that they're not metame at all. And again,
but that this minority position is only within Rabbi Shimon.
Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, correct. Right. And then, right, like I said, that part of this becomes relevant for medical school. Okay, that's a bit of an aside, but fine, we'll leave it.